Hi, folks. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. It is Wednesday, December the 2nd. You're listening to the show, So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I feel like we haven't seen each other in a while. We haven't been in the studio in a while.
I haven't seen you here in a while.
Exactly.
I definitely saw you at work today.
Yeah, well, there's that. We have so much to talk about. We have an amazing special guest that I'm so excited to welcome. We'll tell you about him later, but it's a very special event. It's a special night here at
special.
I'm kind of feeling
like we're in an elevator.
Why is that?
Because of that lead-in.
You are the sunshine of my life, the karaoke version.
The karaoke version was a little bit like we were...
Hey, listeners. You're the sunshine of our lives. I have to do a quick shout-out that I promised, and I stand wholeheartedly behind
it.
I'm giving a shout-out to the GVI Olives Child Care and Orphanage Project in Mombasa, Kenya, which one of our loyal listeners, Sarah, is out there right now volunteering with them. GVI is Global Vision International. It's a non-political, non-religious organization which, through its alliance with over 150 project partners in over 30 countries, provides opportunities for volunteers to fill a critical void in the fields of environmental research, conservation, education, and community development. To learn more about GVI, go to www.gvi.co.uk. Shout out to the Child Care and Orphanage Project in Mombasa, Kenya.
That's kind of cool.
Kind of cool. So I'm going to go back to yesterday.
Wait, when we're on our unrelated to gay news, good stuff.
Sure.
I'm really into Kiva.org right now.
I love Kiva.org.
I'm so addicted right now. Like, I've been micromanaging my microloans lately.
It's a great gift.
It really is. I think I'm going to be.
For weddings and for a bat mitzvah, although I don't think the girl who got it for her bat mitzvah really liked it that much. But it's a great
gift. But
she
could get the money out instead.
She could get the money out. She helps someone in the process.
Exactly. So, yes. It's just a time-delayed gift.
Check out Kiva.org. So yesterday was World AIDS Day, and I'm wearing my ALC, AIDS Life Cycle, hoodie sweatshirt, which is a little big on me, with my jammies.
It's very handsome.
Thank you very much. So yesterday,
so are
big
the
day.
Jammies.
Well, aren't the jammies? These are my new jammies that I bought this weekend at Target. It was my first clothing purchase. I've never bought clothes before at Target. And I was there with Carrie, another one of our loyal listeners, who named our tagline at the end of each show, and her three lovely children, Lily, Jackson, Maggie.
Did they help you pick out your PJs?
They said, ooh, soft. And so I figured that was a good
way
to go.
That's
very comfortable.
That's right, a good endorsement right there.
Yes. So yesterday was World AIDS Day, and so just a great shout out to all the folks who participate in AIDS Life Cycle and all the people who are working all around the world to find a cure for AIDS. And over on one of the sites, they listed the 11 most important AIDS stories of 2009. So I'm just going to go through them really quickly. And many of them we talked about on this show. Number one was the first doctor to report on AIDS died, and that was in July. Dr. Joel Weissman, the private physician who co-authored the first AIDS report in 1981. Number two was HIV travel ban ended, which was just on October 30th. President Obama, very good, signed an extension of the Ryan White HIV and AIDS bill. Number three, these are the most important stories. They're not all positive stories. AIDS was declared the top killer of young women around the world, and that was in a study released last month by the World Health Organization. Number four was AIDS rates rise in the nation's capital. So that's not so good. Number five was a new strain of HIV was discovered. And that was when European scientists discovered a new strain of HIV linked to gorillas. Number six was AIDS advocate Martin Delaney dies at 63. And that he was a prominent activist, active advocate for AIDS research. Number seven was $100 million for AIDS vaccine research. A businessman pledged $100 million to Massachusetts General Hospital to create an institute that will search for vaccines for AIDS and other infectious diseases. Number eight was the big scandal in the porn industry about the HIV rates and how they are rising. Number nine was HIV rates are rising dramatically among Asian men. Number 10 was South Africa. the story when they stopped funding AIDS research, not so good. And number 11 was just happened. A court ruled in favor of a Chicago drug maker. A federal appeals court rejected a lawsuit that accused Chicago drug maker Abbott Laboratories of antitrust violations over a sudden 400% price hike of a popular AIDS drug. So that just happened. So wanted to take some time, and I know that was a lengthy list and a lot of our time talking about the top AIDS stories, but it is so important that we pause on World AIDS Day, and we didn't have a show on World AIDS Day. It's the day after.
No, we didn't.
So wanted to do that. So there's that. That was a lot.
It's a good cause, though.
It's a good cause. Things not so good right now in the state we were just talking about before we went on the air.
New York.
Well, and the other one, too, the other state we were talking about.
Yeah, New Jersey.
New Jersey, New York, not doing so well. So really, just a few hours ago, because as we know, these things happen on Wednesdays, the New York State Senate voted down a marriage equality bill by a wide margin following months of delay and protracted political drama. The Senate voted 38-24 against the bill, 8 votes short of a majority with no support from Republican senators. Governor David Patterson said, quote, "I believe in my heart that if people had voted their consciences today, we would be celebrating marriage equality tonight. That did not happen. As disappointed as we are today, let's get up tomorrow and redouble our efforts. We are going to lay the foundation to make people feel comfortable to vote their conscience and not fear political backlash." Not so good. So, and then a lot of people are storming Times Square.
They said it was going to be at 6, and people at 7 were reporting that it was already quiet, and I didn't see any news stories relating to it. I was searching before I came here.
The shows start at 8, so it couldn't be a very long protest because they have to get to Hair and the other musical. That didn't come out right.
That did not come out right.
I don't know. Maybe it was a very short protest. But then I saw a couple pictures. People were holding these signs that said, I heart New York, and the heart was broken.
Oh.
I know. That was a little bit
That's
sad.
Really sad.
That was a little bit sad.
No, it was not good news. I get these updates by email from the National Organization for Marriage because I think we've been through this before. I like to spy on the opposition.
And was it a really happy email?
It was an really annoyingly happy email. Yeah. And I can read you part of it if you can stand it.
I can stand it.
Can you?
Go for it.
Okay. So I just got it open here.
And I love that we're giving the National Organization, what is it?
National Organization for Marriage.
We're giving them a platform on our show. Go for it.
The title was Huge Marriage Victory in New York.
Woo-hoo!
3 exclamation points. And so I thought it was good news. And then I realized who it was coming from. Like, strike one. And it said, "Dear Rebecca, the New York State Senate just rejected gay marriage 38-24. Praise God."
Oh, my gosh.
And thank
you. Are
you
serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, wow.
NOM spent $600,000 reaching out to voters through phone calls and television and radio ads to make sure politicians heard from ordinary voters like you. Gay marriage inevitable? Don't believe the lie. You can make a difference, and we at NOM are so proud to work with you and millions of other ordinary Americans who know in their hearts that marriage is the union of husband and wife.
Oh.
It has been a real privilege to work alongside.
Look how
happy
they are.
Yep, and then
it's heartwarming.
Yep. Though I like the end, it says, "Usually I don't ask for donations and victory emails like this, but I feel I must make you aware of our urgent needs today. We have totally overextended ourselves, yay, in the fight to protect marriage in Maine, New York, and New Jersey. Our accounts are empty, yay,
oh, that's so
and
sad.
We desperately need
so
to raise
hard.
Funds now so that we are ready to make the next fight when the next fight arises."
Does it say where the next fight is?
It does not.
I think it's in New Jersey. So the drama right now is in New Jersey, and they're trying to push through gay marriage before Corzine, his governorship, is up because the gentleman replacing him, whose name, quite frankly, I don't even know,
but this
has
guy,
said he's going to veto it.
This guy, Brian Brown, also in the middle where I kind of skipped it, he also thanks a state senator for staying in his office praying before the vote and...
I don't recall ever signing up to get updates from Christine Quinn, but I get them often, and she is angry, and she made that very clear. Other people have expressed disappointment. She has expressed anger. So there you go. All right. So to deal with that anger, we're going to play a little ditty by Miss Lady Gaga. Here you go.
All right.
Oh, I am better now.
Oh, that crazy Lady Gaga. She's very interesting.
Was that your pick or was that a guest pick?
That was our guest pick. No, this is all new picks from a guest who we're not ready to talk about yet. Becca, bad news for you.
Just for me?
No, well, it's bad news for you. It's not bad news for me.
Oh.
So I'm sorry. I'm apologizing in advance. Homosexuals and transsexuals, quote, will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Cardinal Javier Lozano Barragan said today, he is of Mexico. He declared that being gay is, quote, an insult to God. But he added that discrimination against gays and transsexuals should not be condoned. So this is a religious leader saying we are an insult to God. That part is not just about, you know, you. It's about me, too. But then he also said, quote, people are not born homosexual. They become homosexual for different reasons, education issues, or because they did not develop their own identity during adolescence. And he said that there is no place in heaven for them. And I'm sorry about that.
Why is this only bad news for me, Ken?
Oh, Jews don't believe in heaven.
Oh.
It's just for you. Sorry.
Neither do agnostics.
Oh, we're both good then. So we are sorry to our listeners who believe in heaven, because Cardinal Javier Lozano Barragan of Mexico has declared that there is no place in heaven for you. So, bad news. Sorry. Good news. I didn't know what to do with that story except, you know, just put it out there. Harvey Milk. We love our Harvey Milk stories.
We
Harvey
do.
Harvey Milk was finally inducted into the California Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh. I was just about to say the only thing better than a Harvey Milk story is a Miss California and a Harvey Milk story.
There
because
was a
those
Miss
are
California.
Like our two big things. But then you just mentioned that it was in the California. Was she there?
I don't think she was there. And
was
I don't
the
think
new
she...
Miss California her replacement there?
I don't know if she was there either. It didn't say that. I thought there was a Miss California story, but then I looked at it and I thought to myself, Becca doesn't want to talk about that anymore.
I know, well.
Becca doesn't want to talk about that anymore, and so I didn't put it out there. And so he was inducted into the California, Harvey Milk, inducted into the California Hall of Fame yesterday, along with 12 other influential folks. And this was the quote from State Senator Mark Lino of San Francisco. Quote, Harvey gave his life for what he believed in, and in doing so, gave hope to generations of LGBT Californians who continue to struggle for full equality. And apparently there was some story out there. I really didn't even read it. It came out right before I left the house to come here. Something about they're, again, trying to ban divorce in California.
Were putting it on as a ballot measure, kind of as a joke. Gay activists were pushing to put a ban on divorce to prove a point. But there have been a lot of articles about why that's not a good idea, considering divorce is a right that we didn't always have and was really pushed forth as a women's issue, a women's right issue. To get out of bad
marriages.
Yeah,
it's not a freaking joke, people. It really is quite pathetic that we can't get married and can't get the same rights as other people. So, I don't know. Apparently we made Nam really happy, though, and you get their emails.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I don't know. I have such a hard time getting upset about this stuff now.
Really?
I don't know. Am I jaded at this point? I just kind of think we'll get it eventually, and I'm in marathon mode instead of a sprint. For a while there, it seemed like, yes, we can push for this and we'll get it right now. And now I'm kind of feeling like, eh.
Do you think that single gay people are more jaded about it and care less than gay people in relationships?
I don't know. Are you not jaded about it? We can have a survey of two.
Of two. Again.
We can get statistically significant results from two
folks,
people, right?
Statistical analysis is running about 50-50 right now. Being jaded, not being jaded about gay marriage. I don't know. I'm just curious if that's a factor in some people's decision-making process. I hope not. We're going to talk about a story a little bit later, actually way, way later towards the end of the show, about a famous person who came out today, and I'm excited to talk about that. We'll cue up a clip. But someone put out there in one of the message boards, why is it that gay people only come out when they're with someone, and would they even come out if they were single? And it's always accompanied by the statement, I'm with this person, I'm really happy. And I used to hear that all the time, that the best time to come out to your parents is when you're with someone. And I actually don't agree with that. When you break up with that person, your parents think, oh, are you back? Are you back to the straight world?
Right, that crazy person is in your life.
What else going on? Rupert Everett today recommended that actors remain in the closet if they want to work in the film industry. He said, quote,
what?
I know. He said, quote, it's not that advisable, to be honest. It's not very easy. And honestly, I would not advise any actor necessarily if he was really thinking of his career to come out. I don't know. He knows better than we do. So that was what he, that's what he put out there. All right. We're going to play another song. This is a song called Heads Will Roll.
How uplifting.
No, by the Yeah, Yeah, Yes. Enjoy. I'm thinking it's time to welcome a guest. You ready to welcome a guest?
I am so ready.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I sure am.
Okay, good. There was a pause there. I got a little bit worried. Folks, this is a really special night for This Show Is So Gay. We are welcoming back to the show Nathan Runkle, who is the founder and executive director of Mercy for Animals. A little bit about Nathan. Since founding Mercy for Animals a decade ago, Nathan has overseen the organization's growth into a leading national force for the respectful and compassionate treatment of farmed animals. A grassroots organizer and coordinator for many years, Nathan has spearheaded hundreds of demonstrations and outreach events across the country. He's a nationally recognized speaker on animal advocacy, grassroots activism, and factory farming, having spoken at colleges, forums,
conferences, and what I can only imagine was his crowning appearance, a guest spot on this show back in March. Nathan Runkel, and this is the first time I have ever said this in the history of our show, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for bending the rules and inviting me back on the show.
You are our first repeat customer.
It's true.
It's a historic night.
Now, I can only imagine that when you're out and about, does it ever happen to you that you're talking to someone or you're ordering a bagel and suddenly they say to you, wait a second, I know that voice. Weren't you on that gay show? I imagine that happens daily.
Yeah, daily. Pretty much daily. It's sort of tampered off a little bit since I've been on, so I'm excited, you know, for the second spot to breathe some more life into those comments.
Because it's very validating, I would imagine. Well, it is just, it's an absolute treat to have you back on the show. How is everything?
Everything is fantastic. It is, it's great.
Well, we have a ton to talk with you about. So last time you were on, back in March, it seems like a really long time ago. I guess that was a long time ago. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking for all these different stories about the intersection between animal rights and being gay. And this time, and I didn't really like the stories I found, this time I found the story. And it was a column that came out 2 months ago. This was by Sherry F. Kolb, who is a professor of law at Cornell Law School. And the title of the article was What Vegans Can Learn from the Gay Rights Movement's Successes. Did you see this article, Nathan?
I did see this article, yes.
It's a great article. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to talk to Nathan about this article. So there's some scattered quotes from this article. Like a gay man or a lesbian, a vegan can choose from a variety of ways of being a vegan. Some stay in the closet. One woman I know, for example, purchases only vegan foods for her home, but when she is out and about, she either eats what others are eating or claims that she is not hungry so that people will not know her true identity. As people learn from vegans who are out and proud that farming animals causes unspeakable suffering, destroys the planet, and contributes to diseases of affluence, they will likely become more open to questioning the false proposition that meat, dairy, or eggs are necessary to a pleasurable and fulfilling human life. So a little bit of a comparison there between being a vegan. I didn't even know that there are closeted vegans, Nathan.
I've never really heard it called that before this article came out, but it certainly makes sense. I know some vegans that are the closeted type, I guess you could label them, and just sort of keeping it to themselves and calling it a personal choice and sort of ending there, but it's certainly, I guess you could say I'm a fully out and flaming vegan.
Look how out you are. You're an out and flaming vegan.
And, you know, I think that there's good reason to be an out and flaming vegan, because I think that we need to be talking to people about these issues, and it's a lifestyle that people should be very proud of. And certainly the animals and the environment need all of us speaking up about why we're vegan and why it's important for others to experiment with that as well.
Can we talk about your vegan journey?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell us your vegan journey. When did you come out? When did you first realize?
Well, I guess, you know, I became vegetarian first. So I don't know. Maybe that was like the bisexual stage of me going towards veganism. I became a vegetarian when I was 11, and it was, I guess, you could sort of say I was born to be vegan as well. I grew up on a farm and always had this natural affinity towards animals. I was always fascinated with them, and I had a deep affinity and respect for them. And it was really our dogs and cats that taught me about animals being individuals and having needs and interests and emotions very similar to our own. And when I was 11, I learned about the horrors of factory farming and the way that...
How did you learn about that
at
11?
Yes, who was telling you as an 11-year-old about this?
You know, it was at a mall at an Earth Day event.
Was it a vegan recruiting you, an older vegan?
Yes, they were out recruiting at the mall. And you know, I picked up literature from this local animal protection organization. And, you know, I was just appalled, horrified, sickened, saddened. to hear how they lock these animals in crates where they can't turn around, how they mutilate these animals without painkillers. And that was it. At 11, I said, this is animal cruelty that I don't feel comfortable with, and it's not something that I want to support. It's completely unnecessary. And
then you went home and you told your parents, I'm not eating meat anymore. And what did they say?
I did. I'm fortunate enough to come from a family that is very accepting. And it was the same when I came out as being gay. It was pretty much a non-issue, though sort of changing a family's dietary habits can in some ways almost be more challenging for some than accepting gay children. But my family, they went out, they got cookbooks, they started experimenting with it. And I think my family recognized off the bat that it was something that would be beneficial for the whole family from a health standpoint too. So it was pretty rapidly embraced by the family.
Look how good they went. They did like the equivalent of pee flag for vegans.
Are any of them vegan now or vegetarian?
Yeah, my dad is vegan. My sister is vegetarian.
Wow.
My grandma is, I guess, as close as you can sort of expect for someone in their 80s. She makes great vegan tofu dishes, and she's learned how to veganize all of her famous pie recipes, and she's really great. She sends letters for campaigns that we have. She's really turned into quite an activist in her own right.
Now, and then when did the vegan part happen?
The vegan part happened when I was 15, and it was something that the more I learned about factory farming, the more that I realized that the dairy and the egg industries were just as cruel, if not crueler, in many aspects than the meat industry. And it boiled back to, was this level of animal mistreatment something that I was comfortable with and something that I wanted to finance or pay other people to do on my behalf? And the answer was no. So I just slowly started making that transition, and I thought it would be difficult, but it was actually extremely easy, and it's totally second nature now, and it's the best choice I've ever made.
Look at that. See, I pictured your parents saying, maybe it's just a phase. Have you really given meat a chance? That kind of thing. But wow, look at that.
You're so young to make such a big decision.
Yeah, there you go. I'm prepared to take this cliche as far as it goes, folks. I'll see this one through to the end.
Seriously, I'm going to have to stop him.
Now, how was Thanksgiving? What did we have for our vegan Thanksgiving?
Well, this Thanksgiving, I actually stayed in Chicago and we had a bunch of my gay vegan friends over. And we made a couple tofurkies.
Love them.
And we had vegan pies, and it was literally, we all ate so much that we all in unison fell asleep about 2 hours after the meal to recover from it. But it was really great. It was great company. The food was spectacular.
I'm not sure how much tryptophan is really in tofurkey. But
I was watching a show about Thanksgiving, and the tryptophan, there is some of it in turkey, but they say you have to eat a lot before it really induces sleepiness. It's like the overall.
Yeah, it's just people overeat,
that your body
period.
Slow down.
There you go. All right. Well, can I tell you the first time I really thought about being a vegan?
It was
about 2.5 hours ago. I'm serious. When I clicked on one of the clips that Nathan Runkle sent me. So Nathan sent me this clip of this investigation that Mercy for Animals did at a hatchery. I had a complete breakdown. How many seconds into it? That would be 13. 13 seconds into it, I'm not even kidding. I had like a total breakdown. Like I couldn't even watch the pig one. I didn't even click on it. I watched the, and you have to tell people about these investigations, Nathan.
Don't tell me.
No, you have to. You have to. The little chicks one, 13 seconds into it, and I was a mess. So tell people about these investigations.
Yeah, well, they're definitely difficult to watch. They're so graphic that many news stations won't even air much of the footage, which in and of itself I think speaks volumes to our treatment of farm animals. But the details is that the hatchery investigation is something that we conducted earlier this year, at the world's largest hatchery for egg-laying breed chicks. And essentially, in the meat industry and the egg industry, there are two types of birds. There's a bird that's grown to be very large, very fast. That's how they're genetically manipulated. And there's an egg-laying strain of birds, which are bred to be smaller but to produce a lot of eggs. So in the egg industry, all of the male chicks of this breed are useless because, of course, they're male, so they don't lay eggs, and they're not of the breed that grows really large to be raised for meat. So all of these male chicks, one out of two that hatch, are considered a byproduct. They're considered garbage to the industry, literally. So what our investigator found is that all of the male chicks at these hatcheries are thrown into these chutes, which take them on conveyor belts and drop them into these huge grinding machines.
That would be breakdown number two for me when we got to that part.
I heard an interview with someone who went undercover on a very similar... On NPR. Is this the same...
That's our investigator, and that's the investigation.
It was a fantastic interview, but it was really disturbing.
Well, can I just say, so Nathan, when did you actually get the video? When did the video cross your desk?
The video crossed my desk, I want to say, around May or June.
Okay. When you watched it for the first time, now you've seen, I know that you've seen, because we talked about this when you were on back in March, you've seen some pretty horrific things, but... We love you, Nathan, and we know that you're not desensitized to these things. So when you saw it for the first time, how do you react as someone who has seen way more of these than Becca and I have?
Than you ever probably wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I definitely do see more cruelty to animals than anyone would like to, but I think it's important to bear witness to it so that we can address it, and that's what keeps me going. But I had... We knew that this was a standard practice within the egg industry, and that's something else to mention is that this is not isolated to one hatchery. This is standard practice. There are over 200 million male chicks that are killed every year by the egg industry because they're useless. So I knew that numerous killing methods were used, including this what's called live maceration, which is just tearing animals' bodies apart while they're still alive. But when the video... got to my desk and I watched it. It was shocking. There's no way around it. It's just deplorable. The entire hatchery environment for these birds is so mechanized, so industrialized. These animals are just viewed and treated as inanimate objects, and you see that in the video. The way that workers just grab them by their wings and fling them about, and how machines dump and drop them, and it's as if you are watching a video of a potato factory or an apple factory, but instead they're live, chirping, newly hatched animals. And it's heartbreaking, and the response that we had from this investigation was overwhelming. There were over 1,000 news stories about it. Over 2 million people viewed the video on our YouTube account.
Wow.
And the universal response was just that people had no idea that this was going on, and not only is it going on, but it's inherent in egg production because these male chicks just have no use.
So then, can you take us to the next step? So we've watched the video, we've had a breakdown. What do we do? Do we become a vegan? Do we write a letter somewhere? Do we cry in a corner? What do we do?
Well, definitely go and cry in a corner at first, but okay. Don't let that be the last action that you take. check. Time to move on to the next step.
I'm ready for step two.
We definitely need to take action. With this aspect of animal agriculture, really it does boil down to us eliminating eggs from our diet, because this is inherent and it takes place with free-range egg production as well. Some of the other abuses that farm animals endure, there are ways that we can lessen that abuse by giving animals more space, which is certainly something that needs to happen. But with this just really illustrates how these animals are commodities to the industry. And a lot of people may think that veganism sounds extreme or too difficult, but there are so many resources out there. It's never been easier to go vegan. We have videos on our own website about how to cook without eggs and how to replace eggs. And, ultimately the animals are the ones paying the price, which is with their lives. And we're the ones that have the choice. And I think that any compassionate person would choose the humane food choices over these cruel choices. So that's,
see, but you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head, though. You actually hit a nerve with me. I'm sitting here thinking, well, gosh, I'm a vegetarian, and I've been a vegetarian for a pretty darn long time. But it's too difficult. I can't be a vegan. And I don't know what to do with that. Does that mean I can't go out to dinner anymore? What does that mean for me? Oh, screw it. I just can't do it. It's too difficult. I'm going to get sick. So you need to dispel me of that.
Yeah, the short answer is it's really never been easier before. And Mercy for Animals has tons of resources. I mean, that's a large part of what we do is helping people make that transition. So we have a website, chooseveg.com, which has literally hundreds of vegan recipes. It's got cooking videos. It's got information on various plant-based protein sources. It's got videos from doctors talking about vegan health. It's got everything that you could ever want and need. But there's also a website, vegguide.org, that literally lists restaurants across the world that are vegetarian-friendly. So now with the internet, there are so many resources available for people that it's really just a matter of changing habits and finding food that you like and finding a support base. And it really does become second nature. You know, it's not a daily struggle for me to be vegan. It's joyful. It's fun. I have such a varied diet. You find the foods that you like, and you have that peace of mind knowing that at every meal you're not supporting animal cruelty, and you're living in line with your values, and you're supporting your own health and the health of the environment.
So, all right, I'm making a pledge. I am making a pledge on the air right now. I'm going home. I'm gonna see. It's so funny that you said earlier that for some families, maybe coming out as a vegan is going to be harder for them than coming out as gay. And I laughed when you said it. And now I'm picturing myself going home and my mother saying, oh my God, are you freaking kidding me right now? But
just send her the video link.
I'm going to send her the video link.
So we've got a couple comments by IM, and I've got to say that, our listeners often comment on the show, but they don't usually ask me to ask direct questions. Ooh. Or to make comments. We have one person who had carnivore guilt as they were eating a burger, and then they wrote that they were crying in the corner halfway through their burger. And then we had another listener asking, what does Nathan think about eating eggs or meat from local happy creatures that are not mistreated and live happy lives, like from really small farms where you can go and play with the chickens and pet the cows?
And then kill them?
Well, it's a good question. The bottom line is that over 95% of all the eggs in this country come from hens that are kept in battery cages, which are cages about the size of file drawer cabinets, and they can find up to 11 birds for their entire lives. These birds can't even spread their wings. They can't touch the ground. They can't engage in any natural behaviors. So if you're going to a fast food restaurant or a restaurant in general and you're getting an egg product, that's where it's coming from. The notion of happy or humane meat, I'll certainly say that there are some small-scale farmers where the animals are given more freedom.
Yeah, well, you have to remember that we're in Vermont and there is a lot of local farming, a lot of local food sourcing that happens here. So at our co-op,
there's a little defensiveness there in the
I think that's where it's coming from, is that, you know, if you go to the co-op and there's the free range, and you know, or in my case, I buy eggs when I do buy eggs from a neighbor who has like four chickens in their backyard.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm the first to admit that there's certainly a scale of abuse that takes place to farm animals. The best thing that people can do is to go and visit the facility. If they are going to eat animal products, is to go visit the facility and to make their own decision of if they feel like that treatment is in line with their values. I will say again that even the smallest scale farms have no use for male chicks, because they don't lay eggs and they're not going to have an equal number of roosters to hens. So that's something that certainly takes place in cage-free egg production as well. And ultimately, these animals are going to slaughter. And I guess it's a question of what you're comfortable with. And for me, certainly, I would prefer if people do eat animal products to get them from places where the animals are allowed to live more natural lives. But
maybe that's a good first step for someone who is.
I think
having a hard
being
time.
Aware of where our food comes from and the hidden costs of them is the first step. And people having a discussion about this is the first step, because so few people really give much thought or consideration to the treatment of the animals. So I think that just us being conscious of where our food comes from will inevitably help end this abuse. But for me, it's also a matter of violence. And I think even when animals are raised in a more open setting, I still think the act of slaughtering animals is violent. And I don't think that it's necessary for us to have those foods. So that's why I've chosen to remove my support from.
And you're gonna support me in my coming out process.
Absolutely, I am here for you. I will give you all the moral support that you
need. All right, I need some recipes. I don't need moral support. I'm gonna need some stuff to eat. I'm a little bit nervous.
I'll take you to your first vegan restaurant. It'll be like the first club outing or something.
I'd be fine with that. I think I've been.
See,
to,
I have such carnivore guilt right now.
Oh, do you?
I was a vegetarian for a while, and I had a really hard time because I kept having issues with anemia and other issues. And my doctor told me under no circumstances should I be vegetarian for a while at least, and then I could try again. But so it's hard because I can't watch those videos.
Yeah, crying.
It's just bad. It's just bad. It's like guilt, but. Morally, I'm with you.
I will say that it made me cry faster. I think the record was 16 seconds. The previously held record was 16 seconds on a Extreme Home Makeover. And then Nathan sent me this clip about these chicks getting slaughtered, and it was 13 seconds.
Don't listen to the NPR story.
Well,
I had to pull over.
I'm a believer.
I had to pull over.
All right. Well, Nathan has picked 4 new songs for us that we've been playing all night, and he's going to tell us what these songs say about him. They might say something different than the other 4 songs said about him back in March. You're our first repeat guest, Nathan. I can't get over it. It's very exciting.
I forgot about this analyze your songs and what they mean.
See?
So you've been away too long. That's the whole timing thing. That's why we don't usually have repeats, because they're already on to our tricks.
We like spacing these things out. I was nervous you were going to have all these pre-planned comments. And now I'm kind of excited again. All right, what does Lady Gaga's Bad Romance say about Nathan Runkel?
You know, it's. I love Lady Gaga. I love her music. I love her art. I'm not going to deeply analyze Bad Romance.
Why?
It means to me.
I think there's a lot there.
I'm not going to get into my Bad Romance situation, but and the fact that she's such an outspoken advocate for the gay community, I think makes her even more of an artist to admire.
All right. Well, we're gonna put on our kid gloves, because again, this is our first guest calling in for a second time. We're only gonna make you do one more. How about Nellie McKay's "Sorry," which is gonna play you out in a few seconds?
Well, you know, Nellie is a young artist, and she's a vegan animal rights activist.
See, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, well, that's actually how I first heard about her, was through her work doing work promoting veganism and helping animals. And I just think she's so incredibly talented, and lots of her songs have very political, progressive messages, not only about veganism, but about gay rights, about the environment. About feminism. So I think that her songs are not only catchy, but they really hit to the heart of a lot of important issues.
Well, there you go.
Sure.
Intersection between art and veganism. We love it. Give us the websites. Tell people where to go.
Mercyforanimals.org. You can find the hatchery investigation video there, and also a pig farm investigation that we just released, which is just as disturbing.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
And ChooseVeg.com is another really excellent resource. People can order a free vegetarian starter kit on our website, too, that they'll receive in the mail, and it's got recipes and info and tips.
That's
and all
great.
That good stuff.
What's your stress release? Tell us what your stress, because, again, you
yes.
watch this video. We need to know specifically how Nathan Runkel de-stresses.
Well, I'm getting into yoga as a stress relief mechanism, and just hanging out with friends and finding personal time and going and looking at art and being creative and laughing.
Laughing is good. Now, that's how good. Important? I'm just going all over the map now because, you know, it's the bad romance thing got me intrigued. How much of a deal breaker is it for you for a potential paramour to be a vegan?
It's not a deal breaker at all. I've dated lots and lots of, well, I won't say lots and lots. I've dated lots of people.
We're not going to go there, Nathan, but yes.
I date people that are not vegan all the time, and I don't judge people off of that. But my experience has been that a lot of the people that I have dated that aren't vegan sort of start transitioning that way because they're good people, and when they learn more about this issue, it's not something they want to support. So, I mean, that's certainly how it was for me. I wasn't born vegan, so I think you got to look at people's character and their compassion on all levels.
All right. Yeah. We're putting that out there just in case anyone's listening in the Chicago area and is thinking, well, crap, I'm not a vegan, so even though I heard him play Bad Romance, I can't be interested. That is not a deal breaker, folks. So stop crying in the corner and get in touch with Nathan. Nathan, what an absolute pleasure to have you back on our show. Our first, I don't know if I mentioned, you are our first repeat guest.
Well, it's an honor. It was, you know, I think I said this is the most fun I've had doing an interview last time, and I'll say it again. You guys are barrel of fun.
We love having you on. We're going to have you back a third time. We promise it right here. We're going to have you back because I got to tell you how this whole vegan thing is going.
Absolutely.
It's only been like 20 minutes. It's going fine. The past 20 minutes have been a total breeze. So
good.
My hope is that it continues like that. And I'll give you a full status report on Ken as vegan. There we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
All the best, Nathan. Thank you so much for calling in. Keep doing what you're doing. My gosh, are you making a difference?
Thank you.
All right. All the best.
I shouldn't apologize so much. That it's jive, it's a crutch I just use when I'm judged. Being fudged by a face I can't erase and can't see, cause I misplaced a dossier or Monty Python CD or something stupid like that. But Jesus, is that so bad to make my ego go splat like a tire going flat or fat on a Big Mac? I'm being attacked. If it's you bureaucrats, you can just apologize back. But I don't know when it comes and it goes, all the highs and the lows and this motionless cycle system. And fan to no end, and no Zen guide human will help you fend off the brethren. And then the pen appears, and then the oxygen network, or the sword of spirit fork, or the board fork fed ward. It's a mooring post, the whore you'll miss the most when you're away. When you're in snowshoe PA, doing some play from backstage, fields of AIDS and race and gays and relationships and ballet. And then you're like, hey, what'd you say? I can just sing my troubles away. But then you're cause you gotta make a buck, and the whole world sucks, and you're ugly duck that's dying line. Trying to slow, there's no one buying, there's always doubt. Capring and dreaming, screaming, shop your life's afflictions, fiction of fouls. But I don't know. Sorry, I'm part of the liberal theology that's leading us to Harry Carey. It's like a mythology almost, like a malingering ghost. As we slowly decompose, rotting in the grave of the polls, crying for Senator Wellstone and then proceeding to moan at our own supposed sabotage of the elections at home. Oh, somebody phone home. The American people have spoken. Now, is that certain? Maybe those nice Midwestern folks are just joking. In any case, we're using dope and choking, moping and sobbing. Come on, you disheartened Dobbin. Saying sorry is my problem, so include him a little of food. So soon for me to have to allude to all this rude, crude, verbal baggage, but I managed, because I'm a savage inside. I'm listening to hits and try to control my hissy with pride. Look at my hair dyed, but all the others are white on them. I don't want to say die, mother. Mind if you did. Janet Reno has no ego when devoured by the id. So before I clip my lip by crippling myself to this bind, you can hear what's on my lip, but you don't know what's in my mind. I'm sorry for the mess, the stupid way I'm dressed. I guess I failed my test. Oh, don't you know?
times, good times. So I have been a vegan now for about 26 minutes. And for all those folks out there who think, God, it can't be done, it's really, it's like the easiest thing I've ever done. I have never.
He's not even hungry yet.
I'm not even hungry yet. So we'd like to take this opportunity to issue some corrections. Apparently,
what did we do?
Apparently, I have been to a vegan restaurant before and many times. That's true. I've been to the Candle Cafe in New York City, which is one of my favorite restaurants. So I can do that. I don't think we have any vegan restaurants around here, do we? Does the co-op make vegan stuff?
Well, they make vegetables and rice.
Yeah.
Both vegan.
All right.
Unless you cook them with butter, I guess.
And it's not so good. So I wanted to play this. This may or may not work. And if it doesn't work, then we're going to stop it and we'll say goodnight.
Okay.
This was a coming out this morning on the Today Show, which I actually watched as it was happening. And so this is Meredith Baxter, formerly Meredith Baxter Burney, coming out on the Today Show this morning. This was part of the interview.
Are you very happy now?
I'm extraordinarily happy. And, you know, I want to say that I'm not a very political person. I've done political things before, but it's been brought to my attention that this is a political act.
And she goes on, and that's as much as I can play from this clip. She goes on to talk about how the very act of coming out is a political act, and how that's not something that she contemplated, but just for so many people, it's not even about saying this is who I am, but you're making a political statement and coming out. How weird is that?
It's true, though.
How weird is that? No, I'm not making a political statement. I'm gay.
Right. And that is a problem. I mean, I've had people say that to me before, which is that you don't need to wear this out where everyone can see it. Well, but you kind of do if you want to have a relationship with whoever that is in your life.
So much,
like my grandmother, right. One of my grandmothers, for instance, thinks that I'm too outspoken. Well, I do have a radio show and stuff, but
that.
So I might be an extreme case, but even interacting with coworkers or something like that, if you have someone special in your life, you want to mention that or.
So it's not
otherwise
like,
you're playing a pronoun game and.
Oh yeah, totally. But it's not like you are making a political statement. It's other people are interpreting it.
Absolutely.
As a political statement.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important distinction. And I think that's regrettable that is imposed on so many youth on just, and Meredith Baxter is not a youth. I think she's about to be 60 years old, and I think it's just amazing that she's coming out, and I love
it. Did you just announce a woman's age over the radio?
Oh, it's in all the stories. It's in all the stories.
It's very rude.
I know. But so she came out, and for folks that don't know, I would hope you know, she was the mom on Family Ties, Elise Keaton. She was a hippie architect. And so she came out and she's, been dating this woman for many, many years. And, she first realized this 7 years ago, and it was a fascinating, fascinating interview. I think it's a totally nice, I was gonna say it's a totally different story than talking about like Adam Lambert, because this provides a nice contrast to coming out and realizing that you're gay, it can happen at a whole variety of ages. And there's all these different stories. But I thought that political piece was very interesting. So that's pretty much it. We would like to thank Nathan Runkel.
We sure would.
We would like to thank our listeners, almost all of our listeners, who have been IMing all night. There's one that...
There's at least one more.
Been a little nervy.
Oh.
But we'll discuss that later. I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
Just want to put that out there.
I don't think you're really vegan.
What are you talking about? I'm a vegan.
When's the last time you had anything that would be not vegan?
That was a few hours ago. No, I had that quiche.
Well, I guess you should be allowed to self-identify in any way you so choose.
Exactly. Please don't impose your.
I'm sorry. I see this now. I see this now.
Folks,
it's not my place.
Out there, go be a vegan. Go do amazing things. And above all else, it's like a Thanksgiving message. Something to be thankful for. Why be gay when you can be so gay.
Thank you. Snow can wait. I've forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose. Get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hands.